Chapter 18, Immunologic Emergencies. Introduction. Every year, at least 1,000 Americans die of allergic reactions. When managing allergy-related emergencies, you must be aware of the possibility of acute airway obstruction and cardiovascular collapse, and be prepared to treat these life-threatening complications. You must also be able to distinguish between the body's usual response to a sting or bite and an allergic reaction, which may require epinephrine. Your ability to recognize and manage the many signs and symptoms of allergic reactions may be the only thing standing between a patient's life and imminent death. This chapter describes immunology, the study of the body's immune system, and the five categories of stimuli that may provoke allergic reactions. You will learn what to look for in assessing patients who may be having an allergic reaction and how to care for them, including administration of epinephrine. The chapter then describes insect bites and stings and their management. Anatomy and physiology. The immune system protects the human body from substances and organisms that are foreign to the body. Without the immune system for protection, life as you know it would not exist. You would be under constant attack from any type of invader, such as a bacterium or virus that wanted to make your body a home. Fortunately, most people have immune systems that are well equipped to detect unauthorized visits or invading attacks by foreign substances. Once a foreign substance invades the body goes on alert and initiates a series of responses to inactivate the invader. Pathophysiology. Contrary to what many people think, an allergic reaction, an exaggerated immune response to any substance, is not caused directly by an outside stimulus, such as a bite or sting. Rather, it is a reaction by the body's immune system which releases chemicals to combat the stimulus. Among these chemicals are histamines and leukotrienes, both of which contribute to an allergic reaction. An allergic reaction may be mild and local, involving hives, itching, or tenderness, or it may be severe and systemic, resulting in shock and respiratory failure. Anaphylaxis is an extreme allergic reaction that is life-threatening and involves multiple organ systems. In severe cases, anaphylaxis can rapidly result in death. One of the most common signs of anaphylaxis is wheezing, a high-pitched, whistling breath sound that is typically heard on expiration, usually resulting from bronchospasm, bronchoconstriction, and increased mucus production. Also present is widespread urticaria, or hives. Urticaria consists of small areas of generalized itching or burning that appear as multiple, small, raised areas on the skin. You may also note hypotension as a result of hypovolemic shock due to increased capillary permeability. Given the right person and the right circumstances, almost any substance can trigger the body's immune system and cause an allergic reaction. Animal bites, food, latex, and many other substances can be allergens. The most common allergens, however, fall into the following five general categories. Insect bites and stings. When an insect bites you and injects the bite with its venom, the act is called envenomation, or more commonly, a sting. The sting of a honeybee, wasp, ant, yellow jacket, or hornet may cause a severe reaction with the swiftness of an injected medication. The reaction may be local, causing swelling and itchiness in the surrounding tissue, or it may be systemic, involving the entire body. Such a total body reaction would be considered an anaphylactic reaction. Medications. Injection of medications such as penicillin may cause an immediate, within 30 minutes, and severe allergic reaction. However, reactions to oral medications such as oral penicillin may be slower in onset, more than 30 minutes, but equally severe. The fact that a person has taken a medication once without experiencing an allergic reaction is no guarantee that he or she will not have an allergic reaction to it the next time around. In fact, just the opposite is true. A person will typically experience an allergic reaction after becoming sensitized by the first exposure. Plants. Individuals who inhale dusts, pollens, or other plant materials to which they are sensitive may experience a rapid and severe allergic reaction. Food. Eating certain foods, such as shellfish or nuts, may result in a relatively slow, more than 30 minutes, reaction that still can be quite severe. The person may be unaware of the exposure or inciting agent. Chemicals. Certain chemicals, makeup, soap, latex, and various other substances can cause severe allergic reactions. Insect stings. There are more than 100,000 species of bees, wasps, and hornets. Deaths from anaphylactic reactions to stinging insects far outnumber deaths from snake bites. The stinging organ of most bees, wasps, yellow jackets, and hornets is a small, hollow spine projecting from the abdomen. Venom can be injected through this spine directly into the skin. The stinger of the honeybee is barbed, so the bee cannot withdraw it. Therefore, the bee leaves a part of its abdomen embedded with the stinger and dies shortly after flying away. Wasps and hornets have no such handicap. They can sting repeatedly. Because these insects usually fly away after stinging, it is often impossible to identify which species was responsible for the injury. Some ants, especially the fire ant, Formicoidea, also strike repeatedly, often injecting a particularly irritating toxin or poison at the bite sites. It is not uncommon for a patient to sustain multiple ant bites, usually on the feet and legs, within a very short time. Signs and symptoms of insect stings and bites include sudden pain, swelling, localized heat, and redness in light-skinned individuals, usually at the site of injury. There may be itching and sometimes a wheal, which is a raised, swollen, well-defined area on the skin. There is no specific treatment for these injuries, although applying ice sometimes makes them less irritating. The swelling associated with an insect bite may be dramatic and sometimes frightening to patients. However, these local manifestations are usually not serious. Because the stinger of the honeybee remains in the wound, it can continue to inject venom for up to 20 minutes after the bee has flown away. In caring for a patient who has been stung by a honeybee, you should gently attempt to remove the stinger and attached muscle by scraping the skin with the edge of a sharp, stiff object, such as a credit card. Generally, you should not use tweezers or forceps because squeezing may cause the stinger to inject still more venom into the wound. Gently wash the area with soap and water or a mild antiseptic. Try to remove any jewelry from the area before swelling begins. Position the injection site slightly below the level of the heart and apply ice or cold packs to the area, but not directly on the skin, to help relieve pain and slow the absorption of the toxin. Be alert for vomiting or any signs of shock or allergic reaction, and do not give the patient anything by mouth. Place the patient in the shock position and give oxygen if needed. Monitor the patient's vital signs and be prepared to provide further support as needed. Anaphylactic reaction to stings. Approximately 5% of all people are allergic to the venom of the bee, hornet, yellow jacket, or wasp. This type of allergy, which accounts for about 200 deaths per year, can cause very severe reactions, including anaphylaxis. Patients may experience generalized itching and burning, widespread urticaria, wheals, swelling about the lips and tongue, bronchospasm and wheezing, chest tightness and coughing, dyspnea, anxiety, abdominal cramps, and hypotension. Occasionally, respiratory failure occurs. If untreated, such an anaphylactic reaction can proceed rapidly to death. In fact, more than two-thirds of patients who die of anaphylaxis do so within the first half hour, so speed on your part is essential. Patient assessment of an immunologic emergency. Scene size up. Scene safety. First and foremost, ensure the scene is safe. Assess the impact of hazards on patient care, including environmental hazards, and address them. Also, assess the situation for potential violence. The patient's environment or the activity he or she was performing may indicate the source of the reaction, such as a sting or bite from an insect, a food allergy at a restaurant, or a new medication regimen. A respiratory problem reported by dispatch may be an allergic reaction. If many people are affected, however, it could be an inhaled poison or terrorist event. Never enter a scene where more than one person is experiencing the same symptoms with similar onset. Follow standard precautions with a minimum of gloves and eye protection. As you proceed to the patient, observe for safety threats to yourself and your partner and determine the number of patients at the scene. Consider the need for additional or specialized resources. Call for additional resources earlier rather than later. Mechanism of injury, nature of illness. Although your report from dispatch may be for a patient with an allergic reaction, keep open the possibility that trauma may have occurred because of a medical incident. Determine mechanism of injury and/or nature of illness. Look for bee stingers or contact with chemicals and other indications of a reaction. Do not let your guard down, even on what appears to be a routine call. Primary assessment. When a patient presents with an allergic reaction, you should perform a rapid scan of the patient to identify and treat any immediate or potential life threats. By paying careful attention to the patient's ABCs, you will be able to maintain breathing and circulation until you are able to transport the patient to the emergency department. Form a general impression. Allergic reactions may present as respiratory distress or as cardiovascular distress in the form of shock. Patients experiencing a severe allergic reaction will often be very anxious and feel like they are going to die. If your first impression finds the person anxious and in distress, call for advanced life support, ALS, backup if available. Some patients who are known to be severely allergic to bee stings, certain medications, or other substances wear a medical identification tag. You will need to assess the patient's level of consciousness. If conscious patients will provide this information and identification as you ask about their chief complaint, some patients may have even begun self-treatment with their own medications. If they are unresponsive or have a decreased level of consciousness, immediately evaluate and treat their airway, breathing, and circulation. Airway and breathing. The most severe form of allergic reactions, anaphylaxis, can cause rapid swelling of the upper airway. You may have only a few minutes to assess the airway and provide life-saving measures. However, not all allergic reactions are anaphylactic reactions. Work quickly to assess the patient to determine the severity of the symptoms. Position the conscious patient in a tripod position leaning forward. This will help to facilitate air entry into the lungs and may help the patient to relax. Quickly listen to the lungs on each side of the chest. If wheezing or a silent chest is heard, the lower airways are also closing, preventing oxygen from entering the circulatory system. Do not hesitate to initiate high-flow oxygen therapy. You may have to assist with ventilations for a patient in severe respiratory distress with a severe allergic reaction. This can be done in a semi-responsive or an unresponsive patient. The positive pressure ventilations you provide will force air through the swelling in the throat and into the lungs while you are waiting for more definitive treatment. In severe situations such as these, the definitive care needed is an injection of epinephrine. If necessary, be prepared to use standard airway procedures and positive pressure ventilation according to the principles identified in Chapter 9, Airway Management. Circulation. Although respiratory complaints are most common, some patients in anaphylaxis may not present with severe respiratory symptoms, but primarily with signs and symptoms of circulatory distress, such as hypotension. Palpating a radial pulse will help you to identify how the circulatory system is responding to the reaction. If the patient is unresponsive and without a pulse, begin basic life support measures or use an automatic external defibrillator if necessary. Assess for a rapid pulse rate, pale, cool, cyanotic, or red, moist skin, and delayed capillary refill times that indicate hypoperfusion. Your initial treatment for shock should include oxygen, positioning in a shock position, and maintaining normal body temperature. The definitive treatment for anaphylactic shock is epinephrine. Trauma is unlikely with allergic reactions, but if trauma has occurred, bandage all bleeding sites and take spinal precautions when appropriate. Transport decision. Always provide prompt transport for any patient who may be having an allergic reaction. Take with you all medications and auto-injectors the patient has at the time. Make your transport decision based on findings in the primary assessment. If the patient has signs of respiratory distress or shock, treat those conditions and transport. If the patient is calm and has no signs of respiratory distress or shock after contact with a substance that causes an allergic reaction, continue with the assessment. History taking. Investigate chief complaint. Investigate the patient's chief complaint or history of present illness. Identify any associated signs and symptoms, such as wheezing or a rash. Identify the pertinent negatives, such as lack of nausea or vomiting or no chest pain. Sample history. If the patient is responsive, begin with obtaining the sample history and asking the following questions specific to an allergic reaction. Have any interventions already been completed? Do you have any prescribed, preloaded medications for allergic reactions? Patients who have had severe allergic reactions in the past may carry an epinephrine autoinjector or antihistamines, such as chlorpheniramine or diphenhydramine, Benadryl. Susceptible patients may also carry bronchodilator inhalers, such as albuterol or other allergy medications. Do you have any respiratory symptoms? These are the most troubling because a patient's condition can rapidly deteriorate from respiratory distress to arrest. Do you have other symptoms such as itching, rash, hives, pallor or bite or sting marks, or have you experienced any confusion? Have you had previous allergic reactions, asthma, or hospitalizations? What did you last eat? This may help you determine the cause of the reaction. For example, peanuts, chocolate, and shellfish can be potent allergens. What were you doing or what were you exposed to before the onset of symptoms? This information may be key to effective treatment. Secondary assessment. Physical examinations. The secondary assessment may help direct treatment. As in all emergencies, your assessment of the patient experiencing an allergic reaction should include a systematic head-to-toe or focused assessment to determine hidden trauma or other unrelated medical problems. Perform evaluations of the respiratory system. Thoroughly assess breathing, including increased work of breathing, use of accessory muscles, head bobbing, tripod positioning, nostril flaring, and grunting. Carefully auscultate both the trachea and the chest. Wheezing occurs because of narrowing of the air passages, which is mainly the result of contraction of muscles around the bronchioles in reaction to the allergen and mobilization of mucus in an attempt to push out the allergen. Exhalation, normally the passive, relaxed part of breathing, becomes harder as the patient tries to cough up the secretions or move air past the constricted airways. The fluid in the air passages and the constricted bronchi together produce the wheezing sound. Breathing rapidly becomes more difficult, and the patient may even stop breathing. Prolonged respiratory difficulty can cause a rapid heartbeat, tachycardia, shock, and even death. Stridor, a harsh, high-pitched inspiratory sound, occurs when swelling in the upper airway, near the vocal cords and throat, closes off the airway and can eventually lead to total obstruction. Assess the circulatory system. Remember, the presence of hypoperfusion, shock, or respiratory distress indicates that the patient is having a severe enough allergic reaction that it can lead to death. Carefully assess the skin for swelling, rash, hives, or signs of the source of the reaction, bite, sting, or contact marks. A rapidly spreading rash can be concerning because it may indicate a systemic reaction. Red, hot skin may also indicate a systemic reaction as the blood vessels lose their ability to constrict and blood moves to the extremities. If this reaction continues, the body will have difficulty supplying blood and oxygen to the vital organs, and one of the first signs will be altered mental status, as the organs are deprived of oxygen and glucose. Vital signs. Vital signs help determine whether the body is compensating for stress. Assess baseline vital signs, including pulse, respirations, blood pressure, skin, pupils, and oxygen saturation. Rapid, labored breathing indicates airway obstruction. Rapid respiratory and pulse rates may indicate respiratory distress or systemic shock. Fast pulses and hypotension are ominous signs indicating systemic vascular collapse and shock. Skin signs may be an unreliable indicator of hypoperfusion because of rashes and swelling. Monitoring devices. In a patient experiencing an allergic reaction, pulse oximetry is a useful method that you can use to assess the patient's perfusion status. By using pulse oximetry, you can determine the percentage of oxygen saturation in the bloodstream, which will assist in identifying the degree of respiratory distress. However, it is important to remember that pulse oximetry is just another tool in your toolbox. The decision to apply oxygen to a patient experiencing an allergic reaction should be based on a careful assessment of the patient's airway and breathing, not solely on the pulse oximetry readings. Reassessment. Repeat the primary assessment. Reassess the patient's vital signs. The patient experiencing a suspected allergic reaction should be monitored with vigilance because deterioration of the patient's condition can be rapid and fatal. Special attention should be given to any signs of airway compromise, including increasing work of breathing, stridor, and wheezing. The patient's anxiety level should be monitored because increased anxiety is a good indication that the reaction may be progressing. Also, watch the skin for signs of shock, including pallor and diaphoresis, as well as for flushing because of vascular collapse. Serial vital signs are important indicators when evaluating your patient's status. Any increase in the respiratory or pulse rate or decrease in blood pressure should be noted. Reassess the chief complaint. Interventions. To treat allergic reactions, you must first identify how much distress the patient is in. Some allergic reactions will produce severe signs and symptoms in a matter of minutes and threaten the patient's life. Other allergic reactions have a slower onset and cause less severe distress. Epinephrine and ventilatory support are required for severe reactions. Milder reactions without respiratory or cardiovascular distress may only require supportive care, such as oxygen. In either situation, the patient should be transported to a medical facility for further evaluation. Recheck your interventions. If you administered epinephrine, what was the effect? Is the patient's condition improving? Do you need to consider a second dose? You may need to give more than one injection of epinephrine if you note that the patient has decreasing mental status, increased breathing difficulty, or a decreasing blood pressure. Be sure to consult medical control first. Identify and treat changes in the patient's condition. Communication and documentation. When to contact medical control depends on your assessment findings and the urgency of care required. In some allergic reactions, you may use standing orders to administer epinephrine before ever calling medical control. At other times, the reaction may be less severe, and you may question whether the patient needs an injection of epinephrine. medical control will be most helpful in the latter situation. Follow your local protocols, which may guide you in providing life-saving care without needing to contact medical control. Your documentation not only should include the signs and symptoms found during your assessment, but also should clearly show why you chose to provide the care you did. If anyone should question your care, your documentation will show the reasoning for what you did. Be complete in your documentation, including not only assessment findings and treatment, but also the patient's response to your treatment. Emergency medical care of immunologic emergencies. If the patient appears to be having a severe allergic or anaphylactic reaction, you should administer basic life support at once and provide prompt transport to the hospital, reassessing vital signs every 5 minutes if the patient is unstable, or every 15 minutes if the patient is stable. Hypotensive patients and patients showing signs or symptoms of shock should be placed in the Trendelenburg's position. If no signs or symptoms of shock are present, transport the patient in the position of comfort. You may want to request ALS backup if you work in a tiered response system. In addition to providing oxygen, you should be prepared to maintain a patent airway or administer cardiopulmonary resuscitation. If the allergic reaction was caused by a sting and the stinger is still present, attempt to scrape it away using a hard object, such as a credit card. Do not use an object such as tweezers to remove the stinger, because this will force more toxins into the wound. Placing ice over the injury site has been thought to slow absorption of the toxin and diminish swelling. But ice packs placed directly on the skin may freeze the skin and cause more damage. Like any other attempt to reduce swelling with ice, you should be careful not to overdo the icing. In some areas, you may be allowed to administer epinephrine or assist the patient with epinephrine administration. The body normally produces epinephrine. Epinephrine is a sympathomimetic. This means it mimics the sympathetic flight or fight response. Epinephrine has various properties that cause the blood vessels to constrict, which reverses vasodilation and hypotension. This, in turn, elevates the diastolic pressure and improves coronary blood flow. Other properties of epinephrine increase cardiac contractility and relieve bronchospasm in the lungs. Because epinephrine has immediate action, it can rapidly reverse the effects of anaphylaxis. The indications for administering epinephrine include a severe allergic reaction and hypersensitivity to an exposed substance. All allergic emergency kits should contain a prepared auto-injectable syringe of epinephrine, ready for intramuscular injection, along with instructions for its use. If the patient is known to have an allergy, he or she may carry their own kit. If the patient is able to use the auto-injector on his or her own, your role is limited to assisting. Your EMS service may or may not allow you to help patients self-administer epinephrine. In some places, the medical director may authorize you to carry an epinephrine auto-injector, EpiPen, or TwinJect. The adult EpiPen system delivers 0.3 milligrams of epinephrine via an automatic needle and syringe system. The infant child system delivers 0.15 milligrams. The TwinJect auto-injector contains 2 doses of epinephrine, and it is also available in 2 strengths. 0.15 milligrams of epinephrine for those weighing 33 to 66 pounds, and 0.3 milligrams of epinephrine for those who weigh 66 pounds or more. To use or help the patient use the auto-injector, you should first receive a direct order from medical control or follow local protocols or standing orders. Follow standard precautions and make sure the medication has been prescribed specifically for that patient. If it has not, or if it has expired or is discolored, do not give the medication. Inform medical control and provide immediate transport. Once you have done these things, follow the steps in Skill Drill 18-1 to use an EpiPen auto-injector. Skill Drill 18-1. 1. Remove the safety cap from the auto-injector and, if possible, wipe the patient's thigh with alcohol or some other antiseptic. However, do not delay administration of the drug. If the patient is displaying signs of life-threatening anaphylaxis, it is possible to administer the auto-injector directly through the patient's clothing. 2. Place the tip of the auto-injector against the lateral part of the patient's thigh, midway between the waist and the knee. 3. Push the injector firmly against the thigh until the injector activates. Hold steady pressure to prevent kickback from the spring in the syringe and prevent the needle from being pushed out of the injection site too soon. Hold the injector in place until the medication has been injected, 10 seconds. 4. Remove the injector from the patient's thigh and dispose of it in the proper biohazard container. 5. Record the time and dose of the injection on your run sheet. 6. Reassess and record the patient's vital signs after using the auto-injector. 7. If the patient's signs and symptoms do not improve after 5 minutes and the patient has another auto-injector, consider assisting the patient with the administration of a second and final dose of epinephrine. If you administer the TwinJect, make the same general preparations you make for the EpiPen. Get an order from medical control, follow standard precautions, and ensure that the medication belongs to this patient, is not discolored, and the expiration date has not passed. Follow the steps in Skill Drill 18-2 to administer epinephrine from a TwinJect. Skill Drill 18-2. 1. Remove the auto-injector from the container. 2. Clean the administration site with an alcohol preparation. Pull off green cap 1 to expose a round red tip. Do not cover the rounded tip with your hand. Pull off green cap 2. 3. Place the round red tip against the lateral part of the thigh. The injection can be administered outside of clothing if necessary. Once the needle has entered the skin, press hard for 10 seconds. 4. Remove the TwinJect. Check to see whether the needle is visible. If the needle is not visible, the dose was not administered, and all the steps should be repeated. 5. If symptoms recur or have not improved within 10 minutes, administer the second dose. Carefully unscrew and remove the red tip. Hold the blue plastic, pulling the syringe out of the barrel, without touching the needle. Slide the yellow collar off the plunger without pulling on the plunger. 6. Insert the needle into the skin on the lateral part of the thigh and push the plunger down. Other bee sting kits may contain oral or intramuscular antihistamines, agents that block the effect of histamine. These work relatively slowly, within several minutes to 1 hour. Because epinephrine can have an effect within 1 minute, it is the primary way to save the life of someone having a severe anaphylactic reaction. Because epinephrine constricts blood vessels, it may cause the patient's blood pressure to rise significantly. Other side effects include increased pulse rate, anxiety, cardiac arrhythmias, pallor, dizziness, chest pain, headache, nausea, and vomiting. In a life-threatening situation, the administration of epinephrine outweighs the risk of side effects. Remember that patients who are not wheezing or who have no signs of respiratory compromise or hypotension should not be given epinephrine. After you have provided emergency care, provide prompt transport while closely monitoring the patient's vital signs. Remember that all patients with suspected anaphylaxis should be given high-flow, high-concentration oxygen.